In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, abbot, confessor, doctor of the church, and been called one of the most important figures in the 12th century, so our saint for today. He was born in the year 1090 to good and pious parents, and was an excellent student and wanted to give his life completely to God. In fact, he studied literature and poetry because he wanted to be able to better understand the Bible. So St. Bernard joined a Reformed Benedictine monastery, and this was a monastery at Chateau. This is the founding monastery from which we get the Cistercians. And at this time in the church, things weren't so good. We have this idea that in the Middle Ages everything was great, but parts of the Middle Ages, some years, some centuries were good, others were not so good. And at this point where St. Bernard of Clairvaux is born and entering, the church was on its recovery from some not so good times. And one of the reasons was the monastic orders weren't doing so well. So he wants to join one of these reformed monasteries at Chateau, but his family had other plans for him. So he's a young man, early 20s, late teens. He's going to join this monastery, and his relatives come to persuade him not to do it. Eventually, it was, I think, 30 of his relatives, brothers, cousins, uncles, 30 of them individually all came to convince him not to join the monastery. But he's known as the mellifluous doctor, the honey-tongued, so it didn't work. He convinced the 30 of them to join the monastery with him, so it completely backfired. So not only did St. Bernard of Clairvaux join the monastery at Chateau, he brought 30 uncles, cousins, and brothers with him. And some of them had been married. They had to convince their wives to let them go to this monastery, managed to do so. So that was a sign of things to come, you could say. So he joined Chateau, which was going to restore the primitive order of St. Benedict. Eventually, that monastery would give rise to the order known as the Cistercians. And this abbey was very quickly too small to hold St. Bernard and his 30 relatives. So they sent him to found a new monastery. And, you know, all throughout Europe, you find monasteries in these wonderful places. They're like gardens, they're irrigated, they have, you know, hedgerows and roads and all kinds of things. That's not how they started out. Very often, most often, monasteries were placed in locations where nobody wanted to be because they were full of swamps. It was bad weather, it was bad ground, it was hard, it was uncultivated, it was difficult. And the monks went there, and over the course of 800 years, you had thousands and thousands of monasteries, and they terraformed Europe. They took those swamps, those barren places, and they dug wells, and they dug irrigation ditches, and they cultivated it, and they grew plants, and they grew trees, and now Europe is just this flourishing land. And thanks be to God for the church. It was a man who did that, and they did it for free. They did it for nothing. And very often, men would go there, and they wanted to live an austere life. They wanted to live a hard and a disciplined life. And to terraform that land, it was hard. Many men died from sickness or exertion, but they are the men upon whom the backs of Europe is built. So we can thank the Catholic Church for that. And St. Bernard of Clairvaux was one of those men. He was sent to a valley which the French called the Bitter Valley, but he changed the name to the Clear Valley, which is Clairvaux. And so that is how he became known, Bernard of Clairvaux, Bernard of Clear Valley. And it wasn't a good place when he got it, but it sure was when he left. And in just a few years, he had over 100 monks, and then he became forced in following years continually to send men to make new foundations all over Europe. And by the time of his death, there were over 350 monasteries from St. Bernard's monks. He led a life of a quiet monk. However, he was always being called upon to settle both political and ecclesiastical matters. At one point, in fact, following the death of the Pope, there was the election of two popes, one actual pope and then the election of an anti-pope, and factions were forming. It could have been a terrible disaster for Europe, but Bernard of Clairvaux was called to Rome, and he successfully and accurately identified who was the actual, the legitimately elected pope, and was able to convince other princes, kings, not to support the anti-popes. We averted one of those disaster there. One of his own monks, actually, became the pope, and that was Pope Eugene III, and he asked Bernard of Clairvaux to write out the spiritual instructions which he had given at the monastery, and he did so, which is called the Book of Considerations. And one of the primary ideas in this book is that to accomplish anything worthwhile in the church or the world, prayer must precede action. As we've heard very many times, right? Even yesterday, with our saint from Saint John Eudes, a man of great action, but also a man of deep prayer, and prayer must come first. And there we have from Bernard of Clairvaux, 500 years prior to that, recognizing and writing about it. Bernard of Clairvaux, he took his own advice. And so he reintroduced a practice into his monasteries which had fallen out of custom, which was called Lectio Divina, which is the reading of sacred scripture. We take it for granted now that these monks and all these monastic orders do that, and even the lay faithful do it. But like I said, it had fallen out of custom. There was a reason that the church wasn't in a very good state at his time, and that was why. People, you leave behind the Bible, you leave behind the reading of the scriptures, knowledge of the scriptures. That's the pillar on which our church is founded. He's famous also for saying that of encouraging spiritual direction. Find a director and place yourself under him, for those called the monastic state. He is the one, his saying, he who has himself for a spiritual director has a fool. That's St. Bernard of Clairvaux. One of his... Now, because of his extensive travels, he was always arbitrating between a state and church, kings and princes, bishops and cardinals. And so because of that, he was called upon to preach the Second Crusade, which he did with great effect. He gained a great following. However, the Second Crusade did fail, and that was a great blow to St. Bernard. Miracles had followed him. He was able to, divine signs from heaven that this was the right thing to do. And yet despite that, we could say the political powers why his preaching was not did not bear fruit. But St. Bernard is also reported to have worked some miracles. He restored speech to an old man so that he might confess his sins before he died. And also there's one account of where he was visiting a particular cathedral or a church, and they had a terrible infestation of flies. Nothing was able to be done about this fly infestation. So St. Bernard of Clairvaux sat down in the church and asked for the book, the sacrament to be brought to him, and he excommunicated the flies, and they all died, and that was the end of it. So I didn't know you could use that excommunication that way. So he wrote during his life over 10 books. The Steps of Humility and Pride is one of them. This is perhaps his most famous one. I wrote 500 letters, 27 sermons. He was the one who composed the Prayer to the Shoulder Wound of Christ, and he was an important figure in developing both church music and architecture. Also, he was very accomplished in giving beautiful sermons on the Blessed Virgin. And specifically through her, through devotion to the Blessed Virgin, he revived the old spirituality of a loving, kind, gentle relationship with God and the saints, especially through the Blessed Virgin. At this time, it wasn't quite the harshness of the Jansenists, which would come some 100 years later, but there was the kind of the coldness and the logic of the scholastics that was started in the 800s, 900s in the church. Logic and reason and philosophy was growing, which was good, but the excess of it is that things, even the spiritual life, was approached logically and kind of academically. And so he brought it back to a warm, loving relationship, which is what it was supposed to be. He says of the Blessed Virgin, he spoke on her perpetual virginity. He gave her the title, the Star of the Sea, talked about her role as mediatrix, her intercessor for mankind, calls her the ladder of sinners. The whole world hung upon her reply to the angel Gabriel. And ending the day with a Salve Regina was a custom introduced by St. Bernard. So after the life of tremendous activity, he died at the age of 63 in the year 1153. So again, a great figure in the Middle Ages, and one of those individuals about whom we hear, you know, quite a bit if you study devotions to the saints, but also one of those figures where we just never know what how history was changed because of his efforts. As I mentioned earlier, he prevented a schism from occurring because of the election of two popes. What would have happened? How would history have been different? How would whole countries have been different because of that conflict over there being two popes? But he resolved it. He kept that from happening. And that's just one of the many, many examples. And his contributions, as I've said, towards his spiritual life, towards his writings, towards Mariology, towards the church. These are the men, right? All the monks he sent out to terraform Europe by their monasteries and their work and their prayer. This is God working in the world. This is how it is done. It is done through the saints. It's not done through governments or programs or altruism, whatever it may be. It's done by men and women who love Christ, and they do whatever he inspires them to do. And how does it happen? It happens first through prayer. I will continue to preach that theme just till the end. Prayer first, action second, and then we never know what we may accomplish, what God will accomplish through us. So let's ask for St. Bernard for his prayers and being faithful to our own. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.